Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, April the 12th, and welcome to our commentary. Well, we have a few things we want to get into today, but I do want to begin with the news that just crossed the wires, as they like to say, over the last hour or so. Apparently, they have made an arrest in New York City over that incident at the Brooklyn subway station. You know, when I think of that incident, I think how lucky we were that nobody was killed. Apparently, some people were injured, but nothing fatal. And that, I think, is a blessing. But nevertheless, I think the police has to take a very hard look at this guy. And I think the government of New York City and the governor also need to take a very close look at the crime wave in New York City. New York City right now is falling apart because of the crime. A lot of people are moving out. A lot of businesses are moving out. And something has to be done. You know, you cannot have these crime waves and these levels of violence without having some very serious consequences on your property values, your human values, and overall. So I just hope that the new mayor of New York, who ran on a law and order ticket, I hope he starts practicing some of the promises that he made, because the people of New York, the ones I talk to, are pretty disenchanted with what's going on in their city. I mean, it's in New York City. It reminds some of us of New York City right before Rudy Giuliani became governor. Became mayor. Rudy Giuliani came in, and 3 or 4 years later, New York City was a very safe city. Well, how did he do it? By going after criminals and letting the police do their job. That's how he did it. As simple as that. And this new mayor can do the same thing. He needs to sit down with Rudy Giuliani and say, hey, Rudy, how did you do it? Show me how you did it. And I'm sure Giuliani will be happy to do it. But I'm glad they arrested somebody, and I hope there's justice in this very terrible case in New York City. I have a post over at the American Thinker today talking about CNN. You may be familiar that CNN has started a brand new streaming service. This is different than the one you get on cable. This is a streaming service where you pay to watch the program. Again, not like the regular service, which is part of your cable package. This is a streaming service. And it's called CNN Plus. And Chris Wallace, who used to be with Fox News, went over to CNN. Well, apparently CNN Plus is not doing very well. In fact, it's doing very poorly. Now, whether it will survive or not, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to sign up for CNN Plus. But I do think you do have to look at the problems at CNN and ask yourself a question. How healthy is CNN as a news network, or for that matter, as a brand? And I don't think CNN is in a very strong position right now as a brand. I think the CNN brand was hurt tremendously during the Trump years, because the network really got infected with what we would like to call Trump derangement syndrome. And it was nothing but negative Trump. It was Trump 24/7, Trump 24/7. They were basically going after a niche of the market that just was obsessed and wanted to read or hear nothing positive about Trump. It was all negative, 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 negative. And in the process, I think they went from being journalists to being political activists. And I think they really hurt the brand. And that's the reason I believe they're having so much trouble in selling their streaming services. Now, to be honest, the economy is not good, and the price of gasoline is obviously hurting a lot of budgets. But I think that's more of a brand problem. In other words, the brand right now is not a good brand. And I think people see CNN more as political activism than as journalism. And that is not good for any reporter to be seen more as a political activist rather than a journalist. Well, you may be familiar with the story that President Biden went to Iowa in the last 24 hours to talk about inflation. And of course, the message from the Biden administration is Putin did it. It's all Putin's fault. The reason that we've had this increase in inflation, it's all because Putin did it. And if Putin had not invaded Ukraine, this would have never happened. Well, I'm not going to deny that the invasion of Ukraine has had a negative impact on the world economy. There's no question about that. And that anytime you have invasions and this kind of international instability, that does have an impact on the economy. No question about that. But the inflation that we are suffering actually began before the invasion of Ukraine. And in fact, on the day before Ukraine was invaded, we were paying very high rates for gasoline in the United States. So this is not about Ukraine. This is about policies and decisions that were made here in the United States that impacted the production of gasoline, the extraction of oil, as well as spending that I think drove up the cost of the government to a point where inflation was a natural thing to happen. I mean, if you look at the American economy, there's a great chart. There's a great chart over at the Wall Street Journal that I would recommend that you check it out. And it shows the timeline of the economy. On the moment that, of course, we had to shut down, which was April and May of 2020, the American economy was doing extremely well. Then, of course, we had the second quarter, the third quarter especially, and the fourth quarter where the American economy just went south because we had to shut down significant portions of the economy. But then by the end of the year, the beginning of 2021, the American economy was recovering at a very rapid pace. So if the Biden administration had done nothing, had simply left the policies of Donald Trump in place, we wouldn't be having the problem that we're having right now. There would still be obviously some inflation because of the different problems created by the pandemic, you know, the supply chain problems and all of that. But nothing similar to what we're having right now. So this is a problem created by Joe Biden. And here's the good news. They're trying very hard to get the American people to think or believe that this was a problem created by Putin, and it's not working. It's not working. I mean, all the polling data clearly shows that the American people blame one person for all of this, and his name is Joe Biden. And I think that's a correct assessment by the American people. This is a problem that was created by Joe Biden, and also the problem on the border was created by Joe Biden. No question about that. And I think the American people are seeing it more and more as they look at the situation in the country. You know, the governor of New Jersey, you may remember what happened in New Jersey last November. All of the polling data was indicating that the Democrats were going to have a good day in New Jersey. And then on election day, the Democrats had a terrible surprise. Not only was the governor's race extremely close, like less than a point, but even some of the state races became a real problem for the Democrats. And that was, of course, tied into what was happening in Virginia, where parents literally changed a government threw out the Democrats and brought in the Republican government. And the governor of New Jersey is now fighting against the teachers union because the teachers union and the education bureaucracy want second graders to be getting lessons on gender identity. And of course, this has created an uproar among parents in New Jersey, naturally so. I mean, second graders are not supposed to be reading or getting lessons in gender identity. I mean, that is just plain crazy to do something like that. So the governor is in a very tough spot, and he came out today saying, hey, let's slow down a little bit. You know, let's not go that far. And I think what's happening is that he's reading the political polls, and he knows that the Democrats are going to get hit very hard in November. And he's trying to do whatever he can to distance himself from that element in the Democrat Party who think that second graders should be getting lessons in gender identity. No, they shouldn't. Gender identity, sexuality does not belong in first grade, second grade. I'm not even sure it belongs in middle school. And if anybody's going to talk to children about gender identity or sexuality, it's the parents who need to do that, not the schools. The teachers are not authorized to do that, and they shouldn't be. That's not their job. When you're in second grade, third grade, you've got other priorities to learn in school, and gender identity is not one of them. So the good sign is that the governor is coming under pressure, and he's, I think, realizing that it would be a political disaster for him to support the education bureaucracy and go along with this incredibly bad idea. Well, on this day in 1954, you know, we always like to go back and remember something on this day in history. On this day in 1954, Henry Aaron made his major league debut with the Milwaukee Braves. Now, you may remember from a previous post that I wrote that Henry Aaron was not supposed to be on the major league team that year, but there was an injury to a veteran, and that opened the door for Henry. Henry stepped in, and he never went down to the minors again. You know, as he began his career with Milwaukee and went on to have, of course, a Hall of Fame career and ended up as number one in the home run title. So Henry Aaron, number 44, with the Milwaukee Braves, made his major league debut on this day in 1954. By the way, he hit his first home run like about a week into the season back in 1954. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Have a great day, and we will talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.